Title: Low-End Mono Checks Masterclass at 170 BPM Advanced. All right, let's get surgical with drum and bass low-end at 170 BPM. Because at this tempo, the low-end isn't just supporting the track. It's doing athletic work, fast kick transients, rolling subs, Reese movement, layered breaks, and a mix that's basically always busy. And that's exactly why mono compatibility becomes non-negotiable. If your low-end isn't mono solid, three things tend to happen. 1. Subs vanish on club systems. 2. You get that weird hollow wobble when the system sums to mono. 3. Kick and bass start fighting in a way you don't even notice on headphones until it's way too late. So in this lesson, you're building a fast, repeatable workflow in Ableton Live that lets you check mono instantly, isolate the danger zones, and then fix the problem where it actually lives, in your bass design, routing, and timing, not by slapping a band-aid on the master. Let's go. First, set your session up for DNB Reality. Set the tempo to 170 BPM. Then create three main groups: drums, bass, and music. Keep it classic: kick, snare, hats, breaks in drums, sub, mid or reese, and bass effects in bass, pads, stabs, atmos in music. Now make two return tracks. Return A is drum verb, short and tight. Return B is bass or effects space, and I mean subtle. If you can hear it as an effect, it's probably too much for DNB low end. One more setup switch. Turn on reduced latency when monitoring in Ableton's options. This helps when you're doing rapid toggles and you don't want the session to feel weirdly delayed. Now we build the core, a master checking rack. This is important. This chain is for monitoring and decision making, not for fixing. If you find problems here, you go fix the source. On your master, add utility first. Map a macro to width, so you can instantly go from 100% to 0%. Name the macro mono check. This is your big red button. Next, EQ8. Set it as a low pass, LP24, and start around 120 Hz. Map that frequency to a macro. Name it sub solo, and give yourself a range like 80 to 160 Hz. The point is, you can quickly listen to just the low end in isolation, without guessing what's happening under the mix. Then add spectrum. Set block size to 8192, averaging to medium peaks on. You're not mixing with your eyes, but spectrum will absolutely expose the why did my sub just change shape when I hit mono moments. Now, a quick teacher note. Mono checking isn't binary. You're going to use three translation states every time. State 1, stereo full range. Does it feel exciting and controlled? State 2, mono full range. Does the center punch, kick plus sub, stay stable? State 3, mono plus low band only, using your low pass macro. Do you hear one consistent low-end image, with no whooshing, no hollowing, and no every other note disappearing? If the low band changes level note by note in mono, that is usually not EQ, that's phase modulation. Stuff like unison, chorus, wave-eatable position movement, or slight layer timing drift. Okay, next, we need a mid and side audition option, because the fastest way to catch stereo sub problems is to listen to the sides. Ideally, you add a utility or device that lets you monitor mid-only and side-only. If you've got a dedicated mid-slash-side tool or meter, great, use it. If you don't, you can still do it with a workaround rack, but it can get fiddly. The main goal is simple. When you listen to sides only, and you engage your sub solo low pass around 120 Hz, you should hear basically nothing meaningful down there. Maybe a tiny bit of room rumble, but no actual sub notes and no kick fundamental living in the sides. If you hear real bass information in the sides under 120, you've got a translation problem. Period. Now let's talk about where the fix actually happens. Your low-end architecture. You're going to create a dedicated LOWEND bus. Make a new audio track and name it LOWEND bus. Then route your kick and sub to it. You can do this either by sending kick as sends only into the bus, or routing directly, depending on your session preference. The key is that kick and sub meet in one controlled place. On the low-end bus, insert EQ8 first. High pass at 20 to 30 Hz to clear subsonic garbage that eats headroom and lies to your meters. Optionally, if you're getting mud, a very gentle dip around 200 to 300 Hz can help, because DNB low-mid buildup is sneaky. After EQ8, add utility and set width to 0%. Hard mono. This is your rule. Kick plus sub relationship must be stable, and this guarantees the foundation isn't doing stereo nonsense. Then add glue compressor, lightly. Attack 10 milliseconds, release on auto, ratio 2:1. Aim for 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on peaks. This is not about flattening. It's about micro-control, so the low end behaves like one athlete instead of two people fighting in a hallway. Optionally, add a limiter as a safety. Barely working. If you're slamming your low-end bus limiter, that's not loud. That's why does my drop feel smaller than my reference. Now split your bass properly. Sub and mid character. Sub track. Keep it stupid simple. One oscillator. No unison. No chorus. No pitch drift. If you use operator, use a sign on osc A. Set the envelope based on the pattern. Rolling subs tend to have controlled sustain, not long floppy tails. On the subtrack devices, EQ8 low pass around 80 to 120 Hz, then utility width at 0%, even if you already monoed the bus. Belt and suspenders, then a saturator, subtle, 1 to 3 dB drive, soft clip-on. Your goal is audibility, not fuzz. You want the fundamental intact. If you want more presence for smaller speakers, do it safely. Duplicate the sub, distort the duplicate harder. Then high-pass that duplicate around 150 to 250 Hz, and blend it in quietly. That gives you harmonics without risking stereo chaos in the actual sub-band. Mid or reese track, this is where you're allowed to have fun, but you must protect the crossover. Put EQ8 first and high-pass around 90 to 120 Hz. That high-pass is one of the biggest professional versus almost differences in DNB mixing. Then add your movement devices, like chorus ensemble or facer flanger. Keep the movement mostly above 150 Hz, because low mid movement reads as phase problems in mono. Then utility for width, maybe 80 to 140% depending on the track. But remember, width is not a flex if it costs you impact. Then saturation or overdrive for bite, but watch the 200 to 400 range. That zone fills up fast when you distort bass and layer breaks. Here's a high payoff order tip for mid bass: high pass first, then distort. Then post-EQ cleanup, then width and movement last. Distorting before filtering often creates low-mid hash that later gets widened and turns into mono mush. Now we do the actual mono check routine. This is the ruthless part, and it should be fast. Pick a major section, usually the drop. In DNB, something like bars 33 to 65 is common, but whatever your structure is, choose the busiest part first. Step 1. Play the drop in stereo full range. Feel the energy. Step 2. Toggle mono check on and off every 1 to 2 seconds while looping two bars. Here's what you're listening for. Does the groove change? Not just volume. Groove. If mono makes the drop feel like it leans differently, or the bounce changes, that's low-end instability. Step 3. Engage SUB solo with the low pass around 120 Hz. Now you're listening to kick fundamental plus sub notes plus any low-mid spill. In mono, this should feel like one centered pillar. If it hollows out or starts whooshing, something down there is moving in phase. Step 4. Listen to side only, with SUB solo still engaged. Ideally, it should be almost empty below 120. If it's not empty, your mission is to find the offender. It's usually a reese layer, stereo unison, chorus on something that dips too low, a wide gnaw on a bus, or a reverb or delay return that's carrying low end. And now, how to fix the common offenders. If you've got a stereo unison bass leaking into the sub region, don't argue with it. Bullet the bass. Make the sub a separate mono synth. Then high pass the mid bass around 100 Hz so it cannot interfere. If your reverb or delay on bass is adding wide low end, fix the return track. Put EQ8 on the return. High pass 150 to 250 Hz. Sometimes even 300 depending on the source. Also shorten the reverb. DNB low end hates long tails. If you want size, you get it from controlled high-frequency space, not low-frequency fog. If kick and sub are fighting, that might be masking, not phase. Use sidechain compression on the sub keyed by the kick. Fast attack, like 0.1 to 3 milliseconds. Release 40 to 120 milliseconds. Tune to the groove. 2 to 5 dB gain reduction is usually plenty. Or do volume shaping if you have tools for it. And don't ignore the simplest fix. Shorten the sub note length so the kick has room to speak. If you're layering subs and they cancel, my honest advice is, don't layer subs unless you must. But if you are layering, ensure both are mono, then align them. And here's the advanced coach detail. Only do sample accurate alignment after you've frozen or resampled modulation heavy basses. Otherwise, you'll align it today and it'll be different tomorrow, because the modulation is literally changing the waveform. Now, arrangement checkpoints at 170 BPM, because mono issues hide in transitions. Check the first 8 bars of the drop first. That's usually the maximum masking moment, busiest drums, full bass, full energy. If it survives there, you're in a good place. Then check the 16-bar variation, exactly when the new layer enters. New res, new chorus, new stereo processing, that's a new phase risk. Recheck right on entry. Then check fills, toms, impacts. Reverse bass effects are notorious for dumping stereo low end into the sides and making the next downbeat feel smaller. High pass those effects returns aggressively, 150 to 300 HC, and shorten tails. If you want low drama, make it mono and centered, not wide. Now two advanced moves that will level you up. First, a slash B at matched loudness. Mono often feels quieter because width energy disappears. That can trick you into making the wrong choices. So put a utility after your check rack for monitoring only, and map a mono trim macro, plus or minus 3 dB, so you can match perceived level while comparing. You're judging behavior, not loudness. Second, sub timing at 170 BPM. Think in milliseconds. Often, the cleanest punch comes from letting the kick transient lead, and the sub sit just a hair behind it. Try delaying the sub by 0.2 to 1.5 milliseconds, using track delay. Then recheck your mono low band. On a big system, that tiny offset can be the difference between hits and smears. If you want an even more forensic check, build a dual crossover monitoring rack. One audition point is low pass at 90 HC for true sub and kick fundamental. The second is a band pass from 90 to 180 HC, the fake sub danger zone, where stereo issues often hide. Sometimes the sub is fine, but the 110 to 160 region is doing stereo weirdness that still ruins impact. All right, mini practice, quick and brutal. Make a 16-bar rolling drop. Program a simple kick pattern, snare on 2 and 4, add a shuffled hat loop and a break layer. Then make a sub with operator sign following a 2-bar rolling pattern. Make a mid-res with movement, but high pass it at 100 HC. Route kick and sub into the LOWENDE bus. Now run the checks. Stereo full range, mono full range, mono plus low band only, then sides only with the low pass. Your pass condition is this: when you go mono, the drop should lose width, not weight. And when you listen to sides under 120 HC, there should be almost no bass content. Let's wrap it up. At 170 BPM, low end lives and dies by mono compatibility. Build a master check rack so you can audit quickly, but fix problems at the source. Low-end bus in mono, sub and mid split properly, and FX returns high passed hard so they don't smear your punch. And check per section, not once. This audio version is shortened for playback.